you've been with us. And Lord, what I like about it, you promise never to leave us, nor will you forsake us. Father, we thank you for our pastor. We thank you for the word that he spoke this morning, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. He gave us what you gave him, Lord, and we thank you for it. Father, we ask that you would bless everything that he put his hands to, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, bless his wife, bless his family, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Bless his church family, Lord. Give us the strength, Lord, and the power to be dominant, to do what you said, Lord. Isaiah said, whose report are you going to believe? So we're going to believe the Lord, because the Lord's word is truth, Lord. And we thank you right now. Whatever the Lord says, he said, let there be light, and there was light. Not only that, the light never got blocked off, but the light keep on going. So we thank you for that ever-going word, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because you're so good, better to us than we are to our own self. And Lord, you deserve to receive all the honor, all the glory, all the power, all dominion is yours, Lord. And we thank you right now. Oh, Lord, you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And you told us the thing that we are running after, Lord, the thing that we are seeking after, you told us our number one priority is to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you said that all these things shall be added unto us. We thank you, Lord. And Father, it might be somebody here, Lord, that don't know you in the pardon of their sin. We ask that you would touch right now. Send a revival through the land, Lord, where lost men, women, boys, and girls will come running saying, what must I do to be saved? Lord, we could tell them that for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but would have everlasting life. So, Father, we just thank you. 10,000 tongues, Lord, we couldn't thank you, though, because truly you've been better to us than we could ever hope to be to ourselves. For it is in Jesus' precious and in his mighty name we pray. Amen, amen.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you, Pa. My brothers and my sisters, if you're here today and you would like to accept the Lord Jesus,
we pray that our broadcast was a blessing to you. If you would like to have a copy of today's message on CD, please contact us at www.joydara.org or at our postal service at P.O. Box 6006, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Or you can call us at 1-888-JOY-DARA. That's 1-888-563-3232. Again, that's 1-888-563-3232. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. May God bless you and yours.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Sunday worship here at Christian Love Baptist Church, where our pastor is Reverend Larry R. Turner. We're located at 3515 Hudson Boulevard, Alexandria, Louisiana. We, the Christian Love family, would love for you to come worship with us. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m., followed by our worship service at 11. Come experience our midweek worship service on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Our doors are always open. It's always worth a visit here at Christian Love Baptist Church.
Thank you. over everybody. What you want this at? I'm a conqueror.
I'm a conqueror.
I'm victorious, yeah.
I'm victorious.
I won't be stopped, no, Lord.
I won't be stopped.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I'm an achiever.
I'm an achiever.
I won't be blocked, no.
I won't be blocked,
no.
First, all of the honor, all of the praises, all of the glory, all of the thanksgiving be unto the Almighty and to the living God, to Jesus, who is our Lord and our Savior, to the power, to the indwelling, and the presence of God's Holy Spirit, to my wife, to those ministers of music. I thank God for you, and to those thousands and thousands who will be ministered to through our radio ministry. We thank God for the blessings of Christ. How many of you thank God? How many of you thank God for all of his blessings? Amen. Truly, the God that we serve is an awesome God. And he is worthy to be praised. Our God is an awesome God. And he is worthy to be praised. Our God is an awesome God. And he is worthy to be praised. I'm going to have to keep saying that until the saints. Our God is an awesome God. and he is worthy to be praised. I'm going to get with the redeemed after a while. Our God is an awesome God, and he is worthy to be praised. When you look at the elements of the universe, when you look at the stars and how they shine and twinkle and hang in their silver sockets, when you look at how the wind blows where it will and where it may, when you look at the thunder, how it rolls, and the lightning, how it flashes, and how they all have to go and get permission from God to do it. That tells you that the God that we serve is an awesome God. Did you not know before the thunder roll, before the lightning flashes, it has to go to the throne of God and get permission? When you look at the ocean, if you've ever been on a beach and you look at the ocean, how vast and how big that it is, it'll only come so far. Up to the shore, and then it turns around and goes back. God has set the invisible boundaries for the ocean to come so far. Have you noted that we have not been flooded out by the ocean of the water? Let me tell you how one writer says that one day is to God. If you went out there on the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Carolina and a bird flew out there and it got one drop of water and it went on the coast of California and went all the way to the Pacific and it went all the way back to the Atlantic and it came all the way back to the Pacific until it emptied the Atlantic into the Pacific, it says that's like one day unto God. So just one day in the presence of God is as good as a lifetime. One day. We have been talking for the last few weeks about coming from under. Wait a minute, somebody, the people that did. We have been talking for the last few weeks about coming from under the curse. Many people are under a curse if they are not giving their time, their tithe, and their talents, they are under a curse. This is not me saying this. This is not somebody else saying this. This is God. God says in Malachi chapter 10, verse 8, 9, and 10, he said, when you rob me of my offerings and my tithe, you are under a curse. Now, don't wait a minute. Hold up. I hear some purses zipping up. I hear pockets buttoning up. I hear bosoms closing up. But I want to tell you, we're not talking just about your money. Child, let me put this coin purse up here. I ain't going to let Rev get none of this money. You know? We are not, when the Bible speaks of offering and tithe, he's not just talking about your money. God is not running behind you for your money. Somebody say amen. Amen. Your money is a part of it, but God is not running behind you for your money. God is simply trying to show you that, first of all, he has ownership of everything. And if you really just want to get technical about it, your money is not yours. No way. It all actually belongs. So he's not after your money. If God were really after your money, he wouldn't be asking you for a dime out of a dollar. Let me help somebody here. I want to talk to you today because I want to show you something that we are in the sixth month of the year. Am I correct? Am I close? Am I in the house? Sixth month of the year, the first month of the year, we talked about God first. And I want to show you something. You see, some people's lives has not changed from day one up until now. I want to talk. We're going to get over all of this stuff here. You see, I will not, if as the pastor, I'm not going to allow you to go into 2010 the same way you were in 9 and in 8. I'm not going to wait until January 2010 to preach messages. We're going to preach these messages now. Watch this. Your life is still going the same way. You're still going through the same trials and tribulations. You're still doing the same things that you were years ago. It's because you are not applying the biblical principles of God's word to your life. I'm not afraid to preach it. I'm not afraid to preach prosperity. I ain't scared. You know, a lot of folks say, well, you know, they preach their prosperity. I'm not afraid to preach prosperity simply because prosperity, it comes from the power of God. God wants you to be prosperous in your life. Jesus simply said it in John 10. He said, I came that you can have life and so you can also have it abundantly. My brothers and my sisters, I know it's going to be better in the sweet by and by. I know everything is going to be all right. We're going to be in a land of no more cancer, no more hell, no more hurt, no more pain. I know that when we get over there, it's going to be great. But I want to enjoy life over here too. I wish I had three witnesses here. I know. So I want you to come out of those same struggles. I want you to come out of those same things. I want you to come out of begging and borrowing and waiting on someone to give you something. That makes you sick. You got to wait on somebody to come give you something. You always on welfare. You always on security, social security. Let me tell you something, my brothers and my sisters. If you're dependent on the federal government to take care of you, let me pray for you. The federal government cannot take care of you. Your paycheck cannot take care of you. Let me help you here. Let me help you. I want to bring you out of this land of begging. I want to talk to you today. God has laid this message on our hearts. Look in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. Come on, we got just a little time, little time, little time, little time, little time. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. There's a 1 Corinthians, there's the book of Acts, there's Romans, then there's 1 Corinthians, then there's 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, look at verse 6. And the word of God says what? But this I say, he which what? Shall do what? And he? Drop down to verse 10. Let's say that together. Now, seed to the sower, both minister bread for what? And what's going to happen? And then what's going to happen? Verse 11. Amen. Don't sit yet. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor. We want to talk about now. Breaking strongholds. You're not excited about that? Let me help you here. The reason why, first of all, the grass will wither, the flower, it will fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. The reason why that you have been living or we are constantly and continually struggling is because we have to come to the final realization that there are some strongholds in our lives. And in order for God to do some things that he has wanted to do, those strongholds has to be broken. Now watch this. You can't break the stronghold yourself. Somebody say amen. Amen. You've tried. You've gotten counseling. You've gotten credit counseling. You've gotten all kinds of counselings. You've talked to your friends. They've counseled you. People have counseled you. But you cannot do this on your own. You play a part in it, but you have to allow God and the power of God and the word of God to break those strongholds. All you got to do is follow the biblical principles that God has laid down. Now, let me tell you something. You are just like me. I hate to read instructions. I mean, you know, I just hate to read instructions. I get something and I try to figure it out how, you know, I like the diagram so I can just figure out how it looks. You know, if I turn it this way, turn it that way. I don't want to read no. And my wife sits right there. She loves it. She sits right there in the screen door. You ought to read the instructions. And I tell her, I don't need to read no instructions. And before you know it, I got screws missing and I got stuff that's not supposed to be on there, And y'all know what kind of rigging we call that, right? You know, they. But listen, we're going to have to learn how to read the instructions. Anybody got it yet? If you just really want to name this message, you could have called it reading the instructions. You know, God has written a manual here. And in order for anything to come right or to prosper, all we got to do is read the instructions and do what the instructions. Somebody ought to hear me now. I know, and just do what the instructions tell you to do, and then the product will come out just right. Anybody got me yet? I'm going to be through in just a minute. I'm going to leave you alone. I know you got a lot to do today, lest I shall overload your wagon. Notice here that God has gotten into Paul. He's gotten into his mind, his heart, his soul, his spirit. And what is happening here, it is obvious here that Paul is talking to people that are farmers. He wouldn't talk to a mechanic about seed. He's going to talk to people that are farmers. Watch this. And what he used is the analogy of a sower and a sower sowing seed. I want to help you here because we're going to go through this. A lot of times, and the reason why our lives are not prospering is because God has made every one of you a farmer, but what you're not doing is he's giving you seed, but you're not sowing it. And therefore, if you don't sow any seed, there can't be a harvest. And if you don't have a harvest, then you can't have increase. And when you can't have increase, you're going to go into poverty. And when you go into poverty, you're going to get poor. And when you go into poor, you're going to start begging. And when you go into begging, folks going to just scatter from you. And when you go into folks scattering from you, you're going to find yourself alone. And when you're all alone, you're going to fall into discouragement. And when you have discouragement, then depression going to set in. Everybody got me yet? And when depression set in, then despair going to set in. And then eventually, your life is going to be in all kinds of confusion. Let me help you just for a minute here. First of all, Paul says, look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. Keep your Bibles open. Don't close your Bible. Look at verse 6. Paul says, listen, first of all, he says, I say this to you. He's talking to the church. The church should be the ones that knows how to sow. The church should be the one that knows how to plant. You should know all about planting. You ought not come to church and never learn how to plant. We're not talking about physical ground. We're not talking about that. We're talking about spiritually. Let me tell you, whatever you put in, that's what you're going to get out. Whatever seeds that you plant, that's the plant that's going to come up. Be careful, my brothers and sisters, that you don't sow seeds of hate. Be careful that you don't sow seeds of discord. Be careful when you go in, folks. Be careful that you don't sow seeds of unmercifulness. Be careful, because what you plant gonna come back up. You get it in a minute, because Paul is gonna tell them down there in Galatians. So whatever you reap, it's gonna come back.
Whatever you put out there is going to come back. Whatever you put out there in the universe is going to come back to you. It's going to come back to you. Let me tell you something. I must admit, I like spiritual music. I like the choir. I like Hezekiah Walker. I like John P. Key. And I like all of those different groups and different things. I just love them. Boy, I love to listen to them. But I must admit, I do still like Maze. Come on now, y'all. I like Maze. I like Maze, and on one of their albums, they got "What Goes Up Must Come Down." The things you do come back around. I know, because I find what goes up must come down. You need to listen to that. He says, and there's a lyric in that. He said, "You can't play games without any risk." You can't play games. And there's no risk involved. In every game, there's a risk involved. You need to know whatever you put out there gonna come back to you. It's up to you whether you're gonna be able to handle it. You talk about folk gonna talk about you. You mess over somebody, somebody gonna come along and mess over you. Are you with me yet? You have to understand that whatever you put out there, and so what Paul is trying to show you, that if you plant good seeds, then good things are going to come back. Watch this. Paul says, but now he says, if you reap sparingly, you're going to sow sparingly. You see, you have to understand that your return is determined by your investment. Put in a little, get out a little. Put in a lot, you get out a lot. Are you with me yet? Let me help you here. I don't want to hold you too long. But I want to show you that first, in order, when you're talking about breaking a stronghold, the only way you're going to break a stronghold is first by having a faith in God. Touch your neighbor and say, faith in God. You got to have faith in God. Touch him. Don't be afraid of him. Touch the other one and say, you got to have faith in God. Because without faith, it is impossible. And if God is not pleased, then the whole house is messed up. You need to know that when the wife is not pleased, the whole house is in disarray. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You need to know that when you please God, everything in your life goes right. When you please God, your days are better. When you please God, your health is good. When you please God, your shopping carts are full. When you please God, your visa has no limits on it. When you please God, your eyesight get better. When you please God, there are more friends and family and finances than you ever could imagine. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now watch this. Paul said, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly.